On our long view today, Neil Milner talks sexism in the presidential election. Good morning.
Good morning.
So is there a difference between, let's say, sexism in the primary and the general?
Yes, there is a difference that we suspected anyway, because in a primary, you don't have the cues that generally help you decide in a big way how you're going to vote in a general election. That is, in a general election, the most important cue is what party the candidate is. And overwhelmingly, the overwhelming majority of us vote that way the same time. Is it a Republican? That's the dominant cue. And by the time the election rolls around, that's dominating. So there, sexism goes into the background. So if you think about 2020, this study that I'm talking about says, well, there's a good chance that the sexism that exists in primaries is not going to affect Democratic voters in 2020, that they'll still vote for a woman candidate because they're so anxious to get rid of Trump and because party identification is so important. But this is what's interesting. They did two surveys to look at the role that sexism plays for the Democratic candidates right now in the primaries, where, again, you don't have that, you know, everybody's a Democrat. No party elites are endorsing, so it's a crapshoot out there. And what you do find is that controlling for everything else, people who are sexist, that is, Democratic voters who are sexist, are less likely to vote for women. And it's a fairly strong kind of thing. Now, Democratic voters are less sexist, and this is measured. There's a kind of battery of tests that you use that are fairly well established. Democratic voters are less sexist than general. Nevertheless, about a quarter of these voters in the survey have these kind of sexist attitudes. And so what happens, if you got those attitudes, you're less likely to support a woman candidate right now. If you take someone like Biden and Warren, for people who are not very sexist, Biden and Warren get about the same amount of votes. Biden's approval stay about the same. But if you look at more sexist people, Warren's acceptance rate, that is, would you vote for him, drops way down. Now, again, as I say, it's tentative. They're not saying they wouldn't vote for them. They're saying that it's not their choice. So that's the interesting thing about it. You have to keep in mind how primaries are different and how the sexism may not play out. But you also have to keep in mind how this suggests what we know from other research, that women who run for office face certain kind of stereotypes and certain kind of obstacles that they have to overcome.
Well, I just remember watching the debates. I mean, there's so dang many of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, running. And visually, it was just, oh, my gosh, you know, just coming from TV and knowing how difficult those debates are to engineer, it's like, holy crow, there's so many running.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part of the problem. But you can see two things, right? You can see gender and you can see race. And so this one looked at, so if you don't know anything else, people can tell, is that a woman, is it not a woman? And that kicks off certain kind of things. But you're right. The primaries, this primary right now in particular, is just chaotic. It's just totally open. Unlike the 2016 election, it was pretty clear that Hillary Clinton was getting most of the party elite support. Bernie then came on, but you didn't have this multiple sort of situation, so that the folks were picking up cues pretty early. This is still a long way from the election. Things are just starting. It will probably start to sort itself out, at least as some candidates don't get any money. There'll be a top tier and a second tier, but it's going to be a long time for it to happen. But I think you have to keep in mind that although most people say, overwhelming majority of people say they would vote for a woman, that that's not an issue anymore. But what they expect from women candidates is different from what they expect from men candidates. They're more tolerant of incompetence from men than they are from women. Women are have this walking this tightrope between having to show a kind of assertiveness but being likable at the same time. Now, if you look at the record, women are doing pretty well overcoming these obstacles, but you have to keep in mind that those are the dynamics that they have to face. And when you listen to women in the primary debates, for example, see if you can pick up some of these kinds of things, this likability thing.
The nuances.
Which, yeah, the nuances. I mean, no one ever asks men if they're likable. But women, women who win office are more likely to be more competent and experienced than men. But people will vote for an inexperienced man before they'll cut an inexperienced man candidate more slack than they'll cut an inexperienced woman candidate.
Well, we saw in the debates how Tulsi Gabbard, you know, was the most Googled candidate after that first forum.
I guess that's right, which is kind of interesting and may suggest where her appeal is, because she hasn't moved the she hasn't moved the arrow in her favor at anything at all. She essentially, at best, is a second-tier candidate in terms of the kind of qualification. Now, she's in the next debate because she's been able to raise the money and been in other kinds of things. But she's not really had the jump that that other candidates. She didn't drop. She had a fairly small percentage. She didn't drop as a result of the primary. She didn't gain from the primary debate. She didn't gain from the primary debate the way, let's say, if you want to just look at women candidates, the way Elizabeth Warren has established herself and the way Kamala Harris has established herself. So, again, you have to be careful about lumping all women together, because in some ways, yeah, they face some of the same things, but they bring different kinds of stuff to the table.
Right, and we saw with Tulsi, she was one of the youngest to be elected here at the legislature, you know, the first Hindu candidate. She's got the military service, so she stands out. But then, as you mentioned, there are some obstacles that women face just in general.
Well, that's right. And some of the obstacles any candidate faces, they have to jump over, and that is raising money and getting people to support them. That is fairly important people. And you're starting to see that get sorted out a little bit more. Although, again, party elites that used to play a bigger role in this are not making endorsements yet. So that's what Tulsi and, to some extent, Amy Klobuchar are a little bit more behind. And they have to face the fact that they need more than just being one, you know, that they sooner or later they're going to have to jump into a tier that's moving forward.
And so, then once we get through the primary and then there's a general.
If you have to say a couple of things about one thing about gender now and one thing about the present presidential race going into 2020, the one thing about gender that you have to say is that if among Democrats that it's likely that the sexism that plays out in the primary is not likely to play out anywhere near as strong in the general, because people will vote for Trump. By the way, remember that 50% or slightly bigger of white women voted for Trump. So it gets pretty messy here. The other thing is that if you look at the 2020 election right now and you put it in as simple terms as possible, the good predictors, that is the models that we use to look ahead of elections that are based on some good history, the ones that emphasize economic factors have Trump winning. The ones that emphasize what you would call political factors, like approval ratings, which is generally a fairly good indicator, they have Trump losing, roughly. So that's part of the dynamic. If that's the basic dynamic and gender plays itself out then it's you get a sense of how this thing is going.
Right, but strange things have happened. I mean, who would have thought that, that yes. we would have had a Republican female governor in Hawaii, right?
Well, yeah. Listen, you could have the shortest interview with me every other week by just asking, did strange things happen? I would say yes, and you'd go to the next person.
Okay, the long view. Neil Milner, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Neil Milner is a retired professor of political science and contributing editor of our segment, The Long View. Find out more on our Facebook page, The Conversation, HPR.